بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هل ننبئكم بالاخسرين اعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياه الدنيا وهم يحسبون انهم يحسنون صنعا اولئك الذين كفروا بايات ربهم ولقائه فحبطت اعمالهم فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامه وزنا صدق الله العظيم. We heard in tonight's Tarawih the closing verses of Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those people who make endeavors in this worldly life, but the endeavors and all the striving and all the efforts they make is astray. It's not on the right path. They are not doing things in accordance with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever efforts they make in whatever form, it is astray. ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا. But they themselves, وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. They are of the belief that they are doing fantastic work. They are of the belief they are doing very good work. Like a person in school, a pupil, he is thinking that he is learning and he is working very hard, but he is not learning the material that is being taught to him by the teacher, the textbook that is given to him, the tutorials that are being given to him, the homework. He does his own thing. And in his own way, he thinks that he is doing wonders. So obviously, we know what the result would be. Allah says, these are those people who feel that they are doing very good work. They disbelieve in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never believe that they will meet Allah ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. All the actions, everything is destroyed. Allah says, we will not erect for them a wazan, a way. In other words, on the day of Qiyamah, whatever deeds they have done, it will hold no weight on the scales. Every person's a'mal will be weighed. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, a very huge person, very hefty person will be brought, very fat and tall person will be brought. And obviously we know his weight will obviously make the scales heavy. But when he'll be put on the pans, nothing will happen. It will not make any difference on the scale. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, only those deeds which are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we have to have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to follow his way of life. And then those a'mal as-saliha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course depending on our ikhlas etc. and how we do it, Allah accepts it. Like how we did the ayat yesterday. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Their efforts is appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single deed you do, Allah multiplies the sawab manifold. But these people who disbelieve and reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever good deeds they do in this world, for example, they feed poor and they help the needy, etc., Allah will repay them and reward them in this world. In the hereafter, they'll have no repayment of the good deeds they did in this world. Why? They disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They rejected the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They rejected the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is absolutely fair. The good deeds they did in this world, He rewards them in this world. He gives them some blessing in this world. Good health, whatever it may be. But in the hereafter, because they rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they get nothing in the hereafter. There is no weight of their good deeds. Why Allah says, ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. That their reward is Jahannam because they disbelieved. So this is the criteria. We have to have iman. That person who has iman in his heart, the miftah of Jannah, the key to Jannah is the kalima la ilaha illallah. Rasulullah's beloved uncle Abu Talib, who stood by him at all times, supported him, was his backbone of support, protected him. But he died without iman. At his death, on his deathbed, Rasulullah goes to him and pleads to him, just whisper the kalima to me in my ears. I will bear testimony on your behalf on the day of Qiyamah that you recited the kalima. He looks around, he looks at the leaders, his brothers and other chieftains of the Quraysh or the other chieftains who were living at that time. And they looked at him and began to taunt him. And they looked at him with big eyes. So he became reluctant. And then he rejected. He told Rasulullah, I'm not going to recite it. And he died in that condition. Rasulullah became so grieved. Now, which person doesn't become grieved when a close person of yours, a close friend, a close family member dies without iman? Allah is fair. Allah put us into this world. And Allah wants us to bring iman and do good deeds. And then we get that jannah in the akhirat. But if you don't bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you mock the signs of Allah. Says, وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُلِي هُزُوَى. They mocked the signs of Allah. They mocked the rasuls of Allah. So how will they get paradise then? They don't have iman. Rasulullah became so grieved. Allah sent down the verse, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your effort is to make tabligh. You will try and preach and give the message across. Many times we see that why are those people doomed for Jahannam, they're not bringing iman. What effort we made in giving them the message? Have you ever prayed 2 rakat salat at night crying for the iman of others? Have you ever went and delivered the message to others? We don't make any effort whatsoever. We expect the third person to go and preach to them. And then when the person dies without iman, then we have questions against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is absolutely fair. Allah is just. Allah is full of wisdom. We should be crying. We must make an effort. What is beyond our control is beyond our control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately, this is the principle in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever he talks about Jahannam, immediately after he talks about Jannat. Or if he spoke about Jannat first, then he reminds us of Jahannam. This is iman between fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not want to punish us. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us do exact whatever we wanted to do, to just become slaves of our passions and desires, then will we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will we come to the masjid? Will we read Quran? Will we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah ta'ala says, those who bring iman and do good deeds, for them are gardens of firdaus, of jannat, in which they will be entertained. They will remain in there forever and ever. They will not desire to be removed from there, or any transformation must take, and they must not be transferred or be taken away from there, because they'll be enjoying the beautiful favors of Jannat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very beautiful, very powerful ayat. Allah says, if the entire sea had to become ink, the seas of the world, the water of the world had to become ink. And we take all the trees, in another verse, Allah says, take all the trees in the world and turn them into pens. And use all the ink, the oceans of the world, use all that as ink, and all the trees as pens, and try and enumerate all, and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your ink will run dry, your pens will break, and still you would not have fully praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is so great, Allah is so great, Allah is so great. Allah loves us. As I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to just obey Him. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا. That person who comes to Him on the day of Qiyamah, what is the criteria? Iman. قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And has that righteous deed, good deed. These two things, iman and amal as-saliha. فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. For them are high ranks in Jannat. High stages in Jannat. Allah says, جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ. Gardens of eternity, تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, beneath which rivers are flowing. There's so much of bounties in Jannat. We don't even deserve those bounties. Allah of His kindness. Look at our ibadat. We feel so lazy while fasting and a taraweeh. Little but we do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates it. And on that Allah gives us a Jannat forever and ever. And then of course we did the story of Musa alayhi salatu salam, just nutshell again. Khizr alayhi salatu salam and Musa alayhi salatu salam. The people, the Bani Israel, had asked Musa alayhi salatu salam, who is the most knowledgeable? So Musa alayhi salatu salam gave the answer that I, Musa, I am the most knowledgeable. He meant that he was the most knowledgeable amongst the Bani Israel and all the people who were living there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to attribute that quality of knowledge to Allah. He should have said, Allah is most knowledgeable. So Allah reprimands him for that. And after Allah tells him, O Musa, there's a certain person, and a certain place, this way you must meet him, and he's got more knowledge than you have. Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, I must meet him. So he goes on his journey, and he takes with him his servant, Yusha bin Nun, and they take a basket of food, and there's a fish there. Allah tells them, that where you see this fish jumping out of the basket, the fish is dead. But where you see, and they're going to eat that fish, but where you see this fish jumping out of the basket, that's the place where you're going to meet this person. So they undergo this very long, tedious journey, and they rest at a rock, and Musa al-Islam is fast asleep, and Yusha bin Nun is sitting, and suddenly he sees this fish coming out of the basket, jumping into the water. This is the mu'jizah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes into the river in such a way that a tunnel is formed, and it swims through this tunnel. And of course, he was amazed by it. And by the time Musa alayhi salam got up, Yusha bin Nun forgot about it. They continued another long journey, a day's journey. When Musa alayhi salam now became hungry, he said, where's the fish? Then Yusha bin Nun recalled that I saw this happening. So Musa alayhi salam said, that's the place we're supposed to meet the man. So let's go back. And they go follow the traces, they go back, and they see a person sleeping there. Musa alayhi salam makes salam. Khizr says, where's salam in this land? Nonetheless, he meets Musa. He said, who are you? He said, Musa. Musa bin Imran. He says, yes. So he said, I would like to join you. So Khizr tells him that I have got knowledge that you do not have, and you have some knowledge that I do not have. Musa alayhi salam pleads to him, please let me join you and benefit from you. He says, you will not be able to bear me. You won't have any patience. He says, no, just try me out. Give me a chance. So he goes, and they board a ship. And the people who owned that ship were masakin, orphans, poor people. They recognized Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam, and they took him on for free, no charge whatsoever. As they're traveling, suddenly, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, Khadir or Khidr, both, you can say. So he begins to remove the planks of the ship, he begins to dent and damage that ship. Musa alayhi salam said, what are you doing? Are you crazy? I'm saying my own words. That you, these people gave us for free, they're not charging us, and you are damaging the boat. Khidr alayhi salam tells him, see, I warned you, you won't be able to bear and have any patience with me. He said, okay, no. So they continue. Then they come to the shore. Khidr alayhi salam sees a young boy. He goes and he strangles that boy to death. Musa alayhi salam cannot take it. He said, what are you doing? Innocent child, and you go and kill him. Musa alayhi salam tells him, see, I warned you. The second time now. He said, okay, one more chance. After that, whatever you say, I'll do. They continue. They go to a little village. They are extremely hungry. They go door to door asking the people for food, to take them and to host them. Nobody accepts them. Everybody refuses. As they're coming out, there's a wall that is about to collapse. And if this wall collapses, the entire village will be flooded. Khidr alayhi salam goes and he erects the wall and he puts it to place. Now Musa alayhi salam said, these people were misers. They didn't give us food and you are saving them. He said, Hada firaqu baini wa bainik. Now that's enough. I separate, you go your way, I go my way. He said, okay, but please explain to me what was the wisdom behind all what you did. Now before we explain this, understand one thing. La yus'alu amma yaf'al wa hum yus'alun. Allah can never be questioned to whatever he does. You and I are the makhluk of Allah. We will be questioned. Allah is hakim. He's wise. I mentioned the other day. You and I think we're very intelligent. We think we're intelligent. The brains that we have are limited. The intelligence we have are absolutely limited. The whole world put together. Whole world can be like Einstein and have his brains. Whole world, still it means nothing compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All our intelligence reaches a point beyond which we cannot comprehend anything. Allah made it like that. We think, you know, we are using analogy, and we're using our logic, and we're using our intelligence, and we're using our skill, and our mind power, and our IQs. Nothing. We are nothing, absolutely nothing compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can never, never understand His wisdom. Now when He is our creator, He is our master, we are His slaves, His promise is absolutely true. Understand this, Allah's promise is absolutely true. Allah never goes against His word. Allah will never go against His word. And Allah never oppresses any person. Even to the size and the weight of a mustard seed or a little atom. Allah will never oppress any person. You deserve that blessing, Allah will give you, plus He'll give you more. So when we have understood these points, now let's understand, Musa alayhi salam went on the ship, and he knew Allah Ta'ala had mentioned to him, inspired him, that this ship is going to pass that cruel king. Whenever he sees a good, nice, beautiful ferry or a boat, immediately he usurps it. Now these masakin, the only source of income was this boat they had, and they would ferry people from one side to the other. If this entire boat is taken away, they lost all the livelihood. So just a few dents here, remove a plank, the king will think, that the ruler will, that the cruel person will see, oh, this is not a very good ferry to take, let it go past, and their livelihood is saved. This one we have understood. The little child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has infinite knowledge. This child would have become a musibat in the lives of its parents. It would actually force the parents who are believers, who are pious people, into making kufr and disobeying and rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he grew up. Now you and I could not see that, like how Musa alayhi salam did not see that. Allah informed Khidr alayhi salatu salam that this child is going to be such that he is going to become an eyesore to its parents. And he's going to harm his parents. There are so many children today. This one person, I just heard the other day, he actually stabs his mother. Takes out a knife and he begins to stab her. The poor mother can't say anything because she does not want to lose her child. And he makes funny demands, threatens them, he'll do this, he'll take his life away. They are quiet about it, they're just bearing him. And there are so many cases where it comes to such a point, no matter what love the parents have for the child, deep down their heart, they wish that Allah Ta'ala takes the child away. So Allah Ta'ala saved these pious parents from this. He blessed them with a daughter. It is mentioned in Tafsir Kitab that she gave birth to two prophets. Now we look at our wisdom, our understanding, and look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the village, that wall that was collapsing beneath that wall, there was a treasure belonging to two orphans. And their parents, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا, their parents were very pious. They had left the treasure for these two orphans. If that wall collapsed, the treasure would also become flooded, or somebody would have taken it away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the treasure in this way. How we see things and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is His wisdom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala totally and accept His commands. Whether it makes sense to us, whether it appeals to us or not, and of course, every single hukam of Sharia, there is great, great, great wisdom behind it. There are people like Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah, has written Hujjatullah al-Baligha, and many other people have written kitabs where they mention the hikmat of wudu, hikmat of salat, hikmat of zakat, hikmat of hajj, every single action. We don't have a question and probing. Our job is to make amal. Bring iman and do the amal. Whether we understand or don't understand. Yes, if you're sitting in a madrasa now, it is academic discussion taking place and then you are asking, that's a different matter. But you and I, we need to now focus and we need to get the jannat. By the time we make academic discussions, time is up, we've left this world without doing any amal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.